So if we've got our Bibles, let's open that up to Matthew chapter 4, if we have our Bibles. For crying out loud, you better have your Bible out, because this is we're going to look at the Word of God together. So here we go, Matthew chapter 4, did I say? I was joking with you, Matthew chapter 5. But as I was preparing this week, I was reading in the Old Testament, which we're going to get there in a minute, about the tabernacle. And there was this lampstand that sat in the tabernacle, and it just really began to resonate with me. So I began to do some research around that. So I want to look at some scriptures around the tabernacle and the lampstand. And maybe in some translations it would say the candlestick. But either way, we're going to pick up a story here, Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus is starting his ministry. He's preaching around the area of Galilee, probably on the hillside of Capernaum. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and we would see for quite a few chapters, Jesus is just teaching and teaching and teaching. And we see here the very first teaching, we see the Beatitudes, and then he moves into a subheading you would see in your Bible. It says, Salt and Light. So let's just begin to read that in verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, when I read things like that, just about the under the bowl, I thought, okay, what does that mean? Because if you light a light and you put a bowl over, I'm thinking it's going to go out, or even if you kind of hide, it's not going to be very bright. So what does that represent? And it's really referring to Jesus is saying that here in Galilee, you know, I am the light. I'm right here, and this is good. But I want it to go out. I don't want you to just kind of just keep it local. I don't want you to keep it just for the Jew or just for God's people. This is for all people. Don't hide it. Let it go out. The church really is a lampstand. If we look at in any community, we find churches as a light in communities. And they're placed there for a reason, so that the light of the church can go out. It can scatter. It can reach and go into all areas. It has a great, it's a strong light. It has a lot of authority. And this past week, the maintenance crew around the church here, they installed these lights here. And this thing is equivalent to 400 watts. I want you to know is if you were to drive down Scott, down the front of the church here where our offices are, that it is bright. I think even when I was coming down from the bench and I could kind of see downtown, I'm thinking, hey, there's the church over there. It was so bright. So for you and I, it's the same. When the church is on fire, when it's full of God, it's full of the Holy Spirit, it's very bright. It's very noticeable. You would notice, you'd drive by the church, whoa, there's a new light there. You know, it's very bright. That's what you and I are called to be. That's what the churches represent. So let's go back to the very first mention of this lampstand. We pick it up in Exodus chapter 27. And we're seeing here God's people come away from slavery and bondage, and they're setting up the tabernacle, the church in a sense, of what God was commanding them to do. And in Exodus chapter 27, we see it say this, verse 20 and 21. Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning. In the tent of meeting outside the curtain that's in front of the testimony, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. This is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for the generations to come. I've got a quick slide here just to kind of help us understand, because I want to make sure we're clear here. If we look at the tabernacle as a whole, we see as you enter in, you see it's the outer courts, and there's certain things in there. And we see we move into the holy place, and this is where the lampstand or the candlestick would be. And we go through the veil, which we know would be the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is. So we see this lampstand here. And what does that mean? Why is it there? So it's to continue to bring really light to that area, right? It's part of the holy place. It's inside. It needs to be lit up. They need to be able to see what they're doing. They don't want it to go out. They want it to burn continually. And think about our walk with the Lord. You know, we must continue to keep our lamps burning. We must continue to keep our lamps full of oil. Otherwise, we could go out. We must continue to be filled. It's really not a one-time event. Think about when you were saved. I can think back, it was a lot of years ago now, but I came to the church, I gave my life to Christ, and all of a sudden, I just felt excited. I just had this joy and this peace come over me. I was just flooded with this oil in a sense. I was filled. It was just wonderful. But if I just stayed there and, good job, I got saved and that was it, well then all that oil would burn out and my lamp wouldn't be burning very bright anymore. It would go out. So what did the lampstand actually look like? We would just skip back just a couple chapters here. So Exodus chapter 25, verse 31 and 32, it says, "Make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out. Base and shaft, its flower cups, buds and blossoms shall be of one piece with it. Six branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on one side and three on the other." We're to bring this pure oil. And it's supposed to be fashioned with pure gold. Nothing that has blemish or defect. And that's kind of like our God, isn't it? Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, the perfect, unblemished, holy one, like our God. We see it fashioned like that. And I'll just show you a quick picture here. Don't count it too closely, but we see the bowls here that are just full of oil. And just so we can kind of visualize it, because there isn't an explanation here. We can't find in the Old Testament anywhere where it talks about the dimensions of it, the size of it. But I hope that picture helps you kind of see whoa, that was big. It wasn't just a little candle you'd light or just a little lampstand you put at, your cabin out in the bushes. This thing was massive and it just burned and there was a lot of oil in there. So we see it like that. We understand that. We see, God has asked them to put it there. But help me really understand, and that's really what I wanted to shed more light on, is what does that really mean to us? So let's skip ahead to the New Testament if we look in the book of John. We see in John chapter 1, he begins to speak about Jesus in verse 6 to 9. "There was a man who was sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light." John was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. "The true light, Jesus Christ, that gives light to every man, was coming into the world." Isn't that just a wonderful thought? If we just skip over again a couple more chapters, we see John chapter 8, verse 12. "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light.'" Do you see a clear example here? We see in the Old Testament, we see in the New Testament, we see in out of Jesus' own mouth. We're going to look at it prophetically. We're going to see a prophet speak about this. This is very important, this lampstand, this oil for you and I. Again, let's just kind of figure out, what does that mean? Well, if he's the true light of life, when you come to Jesus, he's the light. When I think about it in this way, when we come to a well, we would think, there's some water there. I should be getting refreshed. There's the well. Or if we come to a fig tree, we'd often read in the New Testament, Jesus came to a fig tree, was hungry, wanted to be filled, but it didn't have anything. So if we come someplace to be filled and all of a sudden there's nothing there, we're missing the mark, aren't we? So we need to be filled with Jesus. We need to be filled with that light. We need to be constantly burning. Because I think so often I can fall into the trap of just looking good. I feel pretty good. I had 2 weeks off of Christmas. I feel great. I feel relaxed. I ate really well. Had a lot of Christmas baking. Maybe that wasn't the greatest for me. But, we could say, I'm doing good. But then when people come around and we don't really have anything to offer because we're not full, we haven't been filled, we're not on fire for God, we don't have much to offer. And I think sometimes when we take a closer look, we realize there's actually parts that are empty and there's things that need to be filled. So let us take a closer look at that through the prophet Zechariah. So Zechariah has a vision of what we've just been reading about in Zechariah chapter 4. So in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me, as a man is awakened from his sleep. He asked me, 'What do you see?'" What has Zechariah seen prophetically? And I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it. with seven channels to the lights. The pure oil signifies the grace and the superiority of God and the Spirit, which is communicated to all believers from Christ, who we would read in just a moment, who is the good olive tree, who's the good olive branch, whose fullness that we need to receive, without which our light can't shine before men. We must have that good oil, that pure oil, not just some head knowledge or some ideas. We've got to be filled up with Christ. How do we get filled up? So often we read in Scripture how we are filled and refilled is just by committing our lives to Jesus, getting on our knees and crying out to God, singing praises to God, praying to God, you know, produces all of this kind of pure oil that our lamps need to burn bright. Let us continue to read that story, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 3. Also, there's two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and another on its left. And we'll just skip down to verse 11 because there's some things there that we could go off on a rabbit trail. I want to just stay focused on what we're talking about today, verse 11. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and on the left of the lampstand? And there was just silence. I love that. Just quiet. So he has to ask him again. Again, I asked him, what are these two olive branches beside the two golden pipes that pour out golden oil? Look closely. You got to understand this real quick. Verse 11, verse 12. We see verse 11, two olive trees. And then as he took a closer look, he saw it a little bit differently. He began to really see it, two olive branches. And these two olive branches were feeding pure golden oil into those lampstands. And we will look at it just a bit closer. That's how he sees it. So what are these two olive branches? And they're hanging over the bowls and constantly filling these bowls so that they stay on fire. As he observed it with a closer inspection, he saw that, you know, these were connected to the olive tree, which is the olive root, which we often read so often, that Jesus is that root. Let's just find it here in the New Testament for fun real quick. Romans chapter 11, verse 17 and 18, it says this. If some of the branches had been broken off in you, though a wild olive shoot had been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap of the olive root. So we see here that, again, Jesus is that root, and we share in that nourishing sap that God is providing for us when we turn to him. Verse 18, do not boast over these branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. So often we could just easily think that, well, I'm okay, I've got enough, I can support myself now. And we forget that we need to be supported by that root, by that tree. And that's the only thing that's going to fill us up. It's the only thing that's going to take care of us and sustain us. We see it out of John's mouth again here in John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You might be able to do something physical in this world to kind of look okay and be okay, but you can't do anything spiritual if you're not filled up, if you're not connected to the vine, connected to that tree, connected to that olive. Let's just finish that story off in Zechariah prophetically here. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. He replied, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I said. So he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. There's a couple translations here about what that really represents, but I really feel strongly that I believe that it represents this, that these two individuals who serve the whole earth are Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and they're like the Redeemer and the Comforter, and they're filling, they're taking care of. And as we turn to them, they fill us up and take care of us. Listen to how John puts it again, right near the end of the Bible, in John, 1 John chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. You're being anointed with pure oil when you turn to Christ from the Holy One. Skipping down to verse 27. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. You are anointed by God and it remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. Now, let's not kind of pull off a fun doctrine there and say, like, I don't need anybody to tell me anything because I've got the Holy Spirit in me. But God will teach us all truth. As you look to his word, it brings truth. It brings light to every difficult situation. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as his anointing is real, not counterfeit, oh, it's so important, just as it has been taught to you, remain in him. Remain. Don't, you know, again, it's not like, oh, thank you, Jesus, and all of a sudden you're good to go. You remain there. You remain connected to Jesus. You remain connected to the Holy Spirit so that you can be filled again and again and again, so our lamps can continue to keep burning. Without a constant supply, we could really go out. Our lamps could go out. Let's look at it one more time in John. In John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says this. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. When we're far from God and we're in the dark, we non-Christians would read the Bible. It's a book. It's a great book with great teachings. But if you don't have the light of God, you don't have the light of the Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures to you, it is just a book. And we need to be filled by that book. We need to understand that. When I think about my car, this often happens. I shouldn't say that often. That's terrible to say. But, you know, it happens in life where you're driving your vehicle and all of a sudden there's this little red engine light that comes on. Ding! You know, just it's always beeping at you or dinging every time you turn it on if you don't deal with it. And often it's saying to you like, hey, maybe it's been 6 months to a year. You should get it maintenance. You might need an oil change because that oil is, you know, it's dated. You got to get it out. Get some new oil, some fresh oil. And I think for you and I, it's very similar, isn't it? That we can't just stay with that oil that we once had. Well, I read the Bible, you know, years ago, or I prayed last, you know, month or last year. Or we need new oil, fresh oil every day. And my current car is like this. Every about 2 months, the light doesn't come on. I think the sensor's broken, but I know the light's on in my head. Is that every 2 months, the little light should be coming on and say, low oil. It burns a little bit of oil. So I have to anoint my car every 2 months with a little bit of oil. And that's how that my car is sustained. If I didn't do that, honestly, I remember I had a car years ago that did that. I sold it over to somebody, and I watched them drive it into the ground because they knew, they just forgot that they had to anoint it every couple months, and they burned, they cooked the engine. And so if I didn't take care of my car and give it a little bit of oil, I would cook the engine. That would be useless. But I anoint it again and again and again so it keeps running smoothly. And we're the same way. We need to be filled up. We need fresh oil. We need to be connected to God. I love the idea when we think about the church as well, that as our church, as you and I as individuals, we think, well, that's nice for the church. You know, the church should be the light. It should be an example. It should be a witness to the community. But as individuals, we're like the branches that are grafted in. We're like the light. So if each one of us brings light to the table, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter, doesn't it? It's not like we're playing God. We're like, well, God, we're just individually, we're just going to all do our own thing and we'll just be really bright and everything will be great. No, it's because we turn our attention to Christ and we all follow him and then it gets brighter. And then our tent pegs can move, our influence in the community can move, our influence, all those kind of things can be impacted because we have the true light. Not our personal agenda or our own light or our own thoughts, but we have the true light, the truth of God's word that we can bring across. Because as years and years go on in history, feels like truth is a thing that's just lost, isn't it? The more we listen to people, we realize that person wasn't very truthful, and they're getting called out on it. And these people are leading our countries, and I love, you know, wonderful leaders, and God set it up that way, it's fine. But when we're looking for truth, we're only going to find it in here. And we need to be filled up to have a complete understanding, complete truth for this world to follow. So I hope that blesses you. I think to our church about, you know, this past year, we think 2020, thinking, oh my gosh, that was really hard. But 2020 was great. God opened up some ideas. He moved in a certain way, and our church has been blessed through it. I hope you feel that way. I hope you feel blessed. This coming week on Wednesday, Pastor Andrew and I wrestle through the sermon. You may have questions that you could tweet in, message in, email in, and then Pastor Andrew and I are going to have a conversation around today's message. If you have any thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. As always, we thank you for finding us on our YouTube channel or our Facebook or our website. We love you guys so much. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.